Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Welcome to another episode of The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes, the storytelling show that features The Clearing, where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to be told, and where all my guests have two things in common. They're all creative individuals and all with an interesting story to tell. There are some lovely storytelling metaphors, a clearing, a tree, a juicy storytelling exercise called 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, some alchemy, some gold, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So yes, welcome to the Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. Off. Look at that, and I've even timed it perfectly with a count of four, so I don't have to edit it later. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to enjoy the cake particularly because you are Mr. Pantomime, and there is a bit coming up where I can flop a cake metaphorically.
Oh, I got you. I wonder what that mime was. Yes, now I know.
And in your Panto Online stuff that we're going to talk about as well, and by the way, it is so lovely to see you. I know that you've said in your own videos about it, when you're encouraging the children, the scouts, you know, everyone to watch from home, the world, to watch your pantos online, not to throw anything at the TV, which is quite a good
That's safety a good point. Thing. I probably don't say that, but as long as it doesn't break the television, you could throw maybe an egg or two if you didn't like it. I don't know.
So welcome to the ever youthful, absolutely gorgeous wonder pants of creativity that is Peter Duncan. You are an actor, presenter, a life adventurer, former chief scout, pantomime king, and Blue Peter alumni, never can get that Latin right. But we have history, Peter Duncan, to ages back. We've got another bit of history that predates the prehistory, just to get us to be extra sort of Jurassic. It was dinosaurs and all that rubbish way back when, in 1988, when I first graduated from the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School, and I got my equity card by understudying you.
That was such a great David Wood show, wasn't it? And we did it at Sadler's Wells, I remember, which was packed, you know, and we had local kids from the area. And I think we did it in three places, didn't we? And
Yes,
I've still got that. I should have been wearing it, my Dinosaurs Are Rubbish badge, but it's lost somewhere.
Gosh, that would have given you an extra few points with no cash attached there. That's great if you'd had the T-shirt on. And by the way, you were very witty. Because I was understudying and slightly tense, because it is weird. It's the only time I've ever understudied, actually. It's not because I'm always on, darling, but you kept coming to my dressing room and going, as if you were going to go down with something.
Well, and no, that's a bit mean. I don't remember.
No, I have a very happy memory of that, because you're
limping or twitching or something. Yes.
And by the way,
the
pre-prehistory is, did you know, well, you did know you did it, but circa 1978, when you were in the most popular TV children's series of its day, King Cinder, that was directed by my wife's stepfather, now sadly deceased, John Prowse.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I remember it well.
And both Janie, my wife, and her brother Christopher would come along at the age of 14 to be extras and Janey confessed to sort of having a bit of a crush on you at that time.
Yes, well, that was quite a butch programme, that was, because I had to do quite a lot of Speedway. And, of course, I was in it with my then-girlfriend at the time, Leslie Manville, now, who's a superstar, Oscar nominee and all that. And, we often refer to that, those times.
And what's so lovely, by the way, in researching you, I know that you've said something very witty, which I'd like to ask you about, which is where you said, obviously, Leslie Manville and you are still very close. She's best friends with your wife, Annie. And talking of dinosaurs, when they're together, they're like a couple of raptors, you said.
Oh, don't start that. Yes. No, it's pretty. I mean, it's all done. Reasonably friendly. So with if I refer to some event in the past, they both look at me. And when was that then? When did that happen?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the other delightful thing, just to sort of, you know, finally get you on the open road of the wonderful, I'm really looking forward to curating you through this journey. I love the fact that you said you had a bit of an epiphany when you were playing Jesus in the Mysteries. You were dying on a cross and ascending to heaven after a wet pensioner's matinee, went to your car and had a bit of an epiphany. Do you remember that quote that's on your website?
I do. I just put that. I just put that on the website. Actually, I manage to blog once a year. And I thought I'd just done a ghost play actually, which I've been touring in. And there's a lot of stuff about the paranormal, and I played a skeptical history professor in it. And I was. I was thinking about, you know, things that are happening in your life that you can't explain. And I'm very comfortable with mystery. I don't need a strong faith. I don't need anything to make me feel like I'm in the wrong place on earth. But that genuinely was a moment where, out of the blue, when I just, as I say in the blog, sat in my car and I was overcome by this sense of wonderment and my rightful place on earth, and also that what I didn't mention was that sort of fearlessness of you're kind of meant to be here and don't worry about anything. It was a timeless experience, really. So timeless, I've no idea how long it went on for, and it's always been a mystery, because there were no magic mushrooms involved whatsoever. It just came out of maybe it was something to do. If I talk to any Christian friends, people who are quite religious, they'll say, oh, well, there was an angel obviously sitting in the back guiding you. But I don't even know it was that. It was just that sort of maybe like an ancient tribesman who suddenly looks up to the heavens and something happens and, you're meant to be here.
And I love the fact that the happy irony that you're in the Mysteries at the time when you suddenly had this sort of existential mystic sense of what's going on. And I just love the turn of phrase of a wet pensioner's matinee.
Yes, it was. It was in Dartford, of all places, and it was pouring with rain. It was strange. I mean, there is something about the man Christ, which is always, I've done it twice, the mystery plays, where we actually realise it was very much a man, and he, as I have understood it, he was equally puzzled by his position on earth and what he was doing, and had his enormous doubts as well. You know, yeah, he was a kind of, you know, very few people could say he was like any prophet. He wasn't a bad guy. You know?
Yes. And by the way, talking of everyman, there's a lovely, delightful everyman quality of zest and youth about you and passion for purpose that you're sort of you thought it through when you called Peter. There's a Peter Panness to you. And of course you were, you know, I grew up I'm only a few years younger than you, but I did definitely grow up watching you on Blue Peter. And also the fact you had a tenure of being a chief scout, so you're in good company with the likes of people like Bear Grylls, who I think is the chief scout now.
And I've just had a nice new haircut as well, really. The second cut for 3 years.
When you went a bit feral during the pandemic, that's when you got onto your Pantos Online, which I'm hoping you're going to be telling
us about. I refused to cut it, really, yes. Yes, and much to the, there was a bit of a battle, but I did love going back to my youth, because you had in the 60s, and I used to have long hair, you know, when I wasn't a job and they made me cut it off. But I did, in the 70s, I did curly long locks. I was very much in the hippie world, you know, wanting to go to San Francisco and all that, but I was a bit young.
Well, there is a wonderful photograph of you and Leslie on the back of a motorbike, because it was about Speedway, wasn't it? But this was in King's Cinder. So the photograph does actually have you with the long locks that, if I may, have turned a tad greyer since 1978, but bless you.
I'm not sure there were many cyclists with long hair. I mean, the ones who did the Speedway, I mean, they were tough old boys, really.
And by the way, it's an absolute joy to reconnect with you. I've only been back in touch in the last few days. I did David Wood. He was a wonderful guest. He got in touch with you and you're a man after my own heart. You immediately said yes. And thank you so much for being here.
Right, it's a pleasure.
Peter Duncan, you're extremely welcome. Your blog, by the way, just to let people know, you can mention this again at the end, is heresoneimadeearlier.com. And you've also, your current website about pantomimes is Panto Online. Is that right?
PantoOnline.co.uk. Yeah, that's where you can buy all the previous pantomimes and the new one that comes out on 1st of December. Yeah.
And this was a delightful response to the pandemic when everything sort of was catapulted into a blackout. You realised you could make Jack and the Beanstalk in your own back garden.
That's it. Yeah. Yes, it was a very humble idea to begin with, but it grew out of, it's like things you just can't imagine. When you make a bold decision, you just don't know what's going to occur. And it was a kind of a bold decision to do it. I don't know. It just took off amazingly, really.
And it ended up having its own cinema release as well in 2020. Well,
Yes, we took it to the head of Everyman Cinemas and he said, yes, I'll put that on at Christmas. And then other cinemas came in. So not only were we streaming it, we were also putting it on cinema screens all over the place. Big chains I've forgotten the other big chain it was on now. But anyway,
it was marvellous.
Showcase cinemas, they were very supportive, yeah, as well as Everyman, and lots of independents and things. And then we realised that schools were going to get into it in a big way because they couldn't go to the stage show. And we were very big on education resources and making sure that Key Stage 1 and Key Stage 2 was very much part of what they saw on the film and to encourage creativity as well and to make sure that they had connections to the storytelling and things. So obviously, because of Blue Peter and the Cats, I've always been into that kind of sort of info entertainment type thing. So important.
You're a quintessential children's entertainer because of all the, you know, the Duncan Dares and the adventuring you did with your own family, your own children you were traveling with as you backpacked around the world. So there's lots of lovely stuff that we're going to get you on the open road of talking about.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, Peter Duncan, first of all, then, welcome. What is, where is, psychologically, well, metaphorically or literally, I'll try and ask the question a bit easier. Where is a clearing for you is what I'm trying to say.
Well, it is a very special place down the end of my garden. And it's next to a very tall tree. And it's got a kind of a Blue Peter fish pond, a little stage, a fireplace. And it's where I go to be creative, to contemplate, to sort of be at peace with myself, even kind of thing. And it's full of interesting things, bits of memorabilia from the past, and books, and images, and a piano, and I write songs there. So it's a real good place. And overlooking it is this tall sycamore that I sometimes climb up or dangle off. It's a real place.
And that must have been inspiration for Jack and the Beanstalk, the fact you climb it.
It was. Well, it was Jack's tree that he climbed, yes, to defeat the giant, which happened to be in the neighbour's garden. But yes, it was, metaphorically.
And I'm thinking, I'm imagining quite a big garden and that's a particular dedicated area within it. So I'm thinking Dame Judi Dench in a big sort of forested area that you have. Is that right?
It's a lovely house. We've lived here for 35 years in it, and it stretches about 230 feet down. And if you add the neighbours in, it's about, I suppose, the size of a football pitch, really, maybe a bit longer. So it's we're very lucky to live in a place like this.
And you're often playing Dame... And Dame Trot is your sort of quintessential dame, is that right?
Well, it was the first year. I switch around a bit. I was Dame Trot initially, and then I was an ugly sister where I was Billy Eyelash, so not so nice. And this year I'm Dame Dolly Donuts, but they're all two Northern and one Londoner, really. Billy Eyelash was a bit common, you know, but Dame Dolly Donuts a bit Northern, you know. So.
And do you know Eric Potts, by the way, because he's another pantomime?
I do know Eric, yeah.
He and I were at drama school together. He was the year above me, and he's done a lot of work over time with David Wood too.
Yes. And yes, he's always, our paths often cross at those panto do's sometimes, yeah.
As you have a dame off. And in fact, Christopher Biggins may be coming soon to this clearing too, actually.
So. Oh, really?
I haven't necessarily gone on an epic quest to conquer all the dames of the world, but there ain't nothing like
special. Get us all together in a clearing. See what happens.
There ain't nothing like a dame or a bunch of dames. What's the collective noun for a bunch of dames? Who knows?
All drama damus. The drama damus. That's not very good. No, I'll think of a better one before the end.
So thank you for saying that it's a very specific clearing where you go. And also the piano, that's interesting. Is it an outdoor piano? You said there's a piano there as well.
No, there's two pianos. There's my old parents' piano, which has become my makeup desk, because I've often... and then there's a piano I've had for 30 years, which is a little sort of little upright, called a Boyd. It's called a Boyd. I did get it tuned last year. It's really honky-tonk now, which is rather lovely, actually. It's on its last legs, has been for years, but I kind of like it for that, really.
And is it an all-weather piano, both of them? Because it sounds like they're just out there.
I suppose I'm cheating when I say it's a clearing, but it is a shed, an open kind of shed with big doors. So maybe I'm cheating in your concept, but it's full of greenery all the way around it. So you don't feel like you're indoors, but if it does rain, I do go inside. But
yes.
It's very much, you wouldn't know it was there because there's so much greenery around it
yes.
and things.
In fact, you did, as soon as you wanted, you said yes, you did invite me to come and do it there. But because we wanted to do this quickly and I was off to Barcelona, that's why we're doing it now on Zoom. But and I'm feeling like I'd very much like to come and visit that someday, if you'll have me in your sort of clearing. I'll bring all the dames with me, obviously.
Yeah, actually, strangely enough, yesterday I refurbished the ceiling after 25 years because I had some old silks which we used and we're doing some educational filming there on Sunday, and I thought I'm going to do it now, and I got a stapler gun, and I've made a completely new ceiling all in the morning's work, and all in the color of the rainbow flag, so it looks rather good.
You are just a veritable sort of prolific pants, if I may say so. You're doing so many different things, bit of DIY, banging out some stuff on the old Joanna.
I've got a story about that. I'm looking at my list of things to remember now. Yes, the thing you don't know about. Yes, I'm...
hold your horses. Here we go. Right, so we're in the clearing then. And do you want to name it? Whereabouts in the world is it geographically? So where do you live exactly? I mean, not the address, obviously.
No, where would it be? It's in a dreamland, really. It hasn't got a name. I call it the summer house from being posh, and the shed if I'm being less posh. But it is a spiritual place. I need to give it a name. Maybe I don't.
Well, if one occurs, if you get another epiphany... This isn't a wet pensioner's matinee, but if you get another epiphany, just let me know.
Yeah, maybe that's where it'll happen. Maybe tonight.
Okay, so now we're in your clearing. I'm going to arrive with a tree. You've got many trees there, lots of shrubberies going on, but I'm going to arrive with another tree now and shake your tree to let your storytelling apples fall out and we can crunch along on them. So this is where you've been kind enough to have thought about four things that have shaped you, three things that inspire you, two things that never fail to grab your attention. That's where the two random squirrels come in. Oh, squirrels. And then a quirky or unusual fact, which you've mentioned you've already got in the bank. So over to you in your wonderful clearing stroke, man cave stroke, outdoor nirvana to shake your tree.
Yeah, well, the four things, starting with the four things, I think my childhood had a huge effect on me, partly because the way I grew up with my parents being performers and going from summer seasons to pantomime and being surrounded by very exuberant, outgoing people, very warm company, a bit like a young travelling player being carried along by all these these people. I had so many uncles and so many people that used to look after me while my parents were performing or fixing the costumes or building the set. My father actually began with fit-ups on the beaches on the sands before he met my mother. So that was the world I grew up in. Very poor to begin with because he didn't have any success as a theatre producer. Was always struggling a bit. But eventually later on when he started doing peer shows, particularly in Brighton, he became, it really began to work and he had several shows going at the same time. And so up until the age of 14, 15, I was pillar to post in that world. And I think that's had enormous effect and affects the way I do things now a little bit entrepreneurial and being outside the mainstream and doing the things that I want to do.
And you just sparked a memory where you used to do some after show talks during Dinosaurs and all that rubbish. And I have a memory, and I hope this is attributed to you, of you saying your first memory was being in a pram and looking
up. Yes, it was. So
back to you.
Yeah, no, it was. I think it's because of when you're the coloured lights of being on stage, it's always like, ooh, maybe that was an epiphany. I don't know. But yes, I do have that memory. I mean, maybe it's imagined, but it certainly felt like I'm looking up at the lights and they're all different colours and changing colours and things. Yeah.
So the most wonderful childhood mobile in the form of
yes. With music, always music going on. My mother singing, my father's singing, hearing their voices together. I was in the wings because they obviously couldn't leave me at home. And whenever I had some occasional nannies, and I didn't always go away, especially as I got to secondary education. But that didn't last long because I left school I wasn't even 15.
There's a lovely analogy in all of this of being like a sort of quintessential minstrelsy or a player king, a squad of actors, performers wandering around creating magic.
It really was, yeah. And although my formal education was fairly terrible, this was a real life education and so much of what the songs and what the stories are about. So, I carried on in that vein. I think as I've got older, but I stay constantly interested in stuff and not try to stay in one place with what I'm interested in.
Yes. And when I described you as being Peter Pan, it's this idea of having a sort of constant youthful endeavour and connection to wanting to be a children's entertainer.
Yes, but he was a little boy that never, or a little girl that never grew up. I don't know, I've always seen Pan as a slightly more troubled character, really. Uh-huh. I'm very similar to Captain Hook, really. They were both troubled for different reasons, I think. Certainly when you read about Jay and Barry, you kind of know that they are much more similar than people think they are.
And I was just riffing, obviously, on the name Peter because of Peter Pat, and then Blue Peter, most importantly, as well, later on. I'm sure you may talk about that at some point as well.
Of course,
we're still in the canopy. So shaping was your family upbringing and your parents.
Yeah.
Next.
The second thing I was going to mention is dreams. I've always been a bit like, that living dream I had in that car. I've always been affected by what Jung would call big dreams, where I've had dreams which are so vivid and so real and informative. And once on a holiday many years ago, I was reading his autobiography, Memories, Dreams and Reflections, and another book about some of his patients. And I got into remembering my dreams every night, and I had one really, really big dream about a child discovering it was energy at the end of a sound wave, and this particular story I put into this Pantoland story. So if you see it, there'll be this character called Alexis who, without giving the story away, but he actually has kind of spirit guides, and one of them brings this story into his conscious life, and he saves the world. So these dreams linger. This is 35 years ago, this dream, and then other dreams about birth and death, and I don't do it anymore. I used to write them down, and the best way to remember dreams is when you get up in the morning. If you just get a little snatch of a dream or something, or the mood you're in, if you just take a breath and concentrate, you can then start to remember much more of the dream. I mean, they're not always big dreams. They're often bonkers and they don't make sense, or something that's happened in the day. But I really do feel that sometimes dreams are very special. I had a great dream once about my, just remembered it, about my parents. My mother died quite dramatically. She fell down the stairs and almost died straight away. And we didn't know why. How did she fall? And then later on, I came back and I'm in bed with them, and they are very young in bed, and I'm little, but I'm not a child, and we're just talking like, you know, like you would after a show, what you're doing. And I remember casually saying to my mother, we're all terribly happy to be in this place, and I said to my mother, God, what happened? Why did you fall down the stairs? Oh, darling, it was the bloody dress. I got my heel caught in it, and I slipped and I fell. And then when we looked at the dress and the shoe, and she complained about it before. It's like, you know, they were there, you know.
Yes.
Strange things, like, yeah.
Wow, sort of explaining it in a little bit of hindsight. So how many years after?
That's what everyone wants to know when somebody dies suddenly. You want a reason. Yes. And maybe the mind is creating a reason, and from all your memories and all your neurons working it all out to give you comfort, but I don't know. Who knows?
How long ago did your mother die?
I like mystery.
How long ago did your mother die?
Oh, 80, 87.
Oh, okay.
87, yeah. Long time ago, yeah.
Just before I met you in 88, go figure.
Yes, it was, yeah. Time. Oh, it's a funny thing, time, isn't it? Oh, so more, do you want me to carry on?
Yes, please. So that's the second shapeage, third.
The four things is being an actor, obviously becoming an actor. My parents were variety people, so I kind of got a job when I was 15 as Jim Hawkins, and that was the first time I'd done sort of very conventional school plays. I got into all that. I've always loved language, and I got the part of Jim Hawkins in Treasure Island, and I was at the Mermaid Theatre with an old, very old Hollywood actor, or English he was, but called Percy Herbert. He played Long John Silver. And that was the first time I realised, almost by getting this part, that that's what I'd like to do. I like being in front of people. I was a shy child, really. I never had that intention, but because I got this part and I kind of played that role I've loved Treasure Island ever since, really. In fact, I want to make another film about it, but that's another story.
That's next.
That's next, maybe, yeah. But, so that was the beginning of that journey, really. And soon after that, I got a job at the National, at the Old Vic and Olivier's company when I was very young. I was 16 to 18. So that was my beginnings, really. So although I've, as I say, deviated a lot from that and done lots of different things, that's always been my, if you like, my core skill and my core interest. And everything I do results from that sense of being a performer and telling a story.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
This podcast could last 4 hours.
No, not at all. It's great. And I think there's one other shapeage as well, isn't there? Or have you done?
Yes, there's one other shape. And one of the four things. Yeah, it's travel, really. And obviously, you alluded earlier to me traveling with my family. So when my mother died, one way we wanted to celebrate her life was to go on this, what we called the big trip. And so me and Annie, my wife and the four kids, we all put a map up, and we decided that we were going to go around the world for 6 months, come out of school. Well, I wasn't in school.
I see what you did there.
And that's what we did. And I decided to make a documentary because I was quite into camera stuff and filming, and small cameras had just it kind of got very easy to travel. You know, you didn't have to have a big crew like Michael Palin. You could do the same thing actually with one radio mic and, or maybe two or three radio mics and a small camera. It was all, you know, good three chip cameras, Sony cameras in those days. And that's what we did. And I did it on a whim. And I didn't have a broadcast or anything. And eventually the Beat took it up and they showed this. And then we did two more trips to India and China again, and these were life-changing experiences, not only for the kids, because that defined what they kind of done and how they view the world, but for us too, watching them, because it was primarily about them seeing the world, seeing different cultures. It wasn't, I wouldn't call it having holidays, although it might seem to some like one big holiday because we were doing fun things, but it really was, you know, I would, if I was head of education, I would make it compulsory that all families, and I didn't know how you pay for it, but that every family has a sabbatical, a year sabbatical from work and a year sabbatical from school, where they get into the the realer world.
Yes.
I know it's financially not possible, but sometimes you go to places in the world you can live for nothing, so maybe it would work.
Yes,
so travel and something I was going to mention, which the just before that, when these cameras first came out, I did what I was early reality show, and this is very relevant to the age that we're in now, the troubles we're seeing in Russia and Ukraine, that I joined this thing where we drove around the world. Literally, it was a big show in 94, 95, and we literally drove through the Channel Tunnel across Europe, into Russia, right up through Siberia, across the Bering Straits, drove through Canada to New York and flew to London. So it was literally a drive around the world. And the bit that was most fascinating for me and most had such a great influence on me was traveling through Russia. And this was, if you remember, 94. So Yeltsin had just got in, and the Russian guy that was leading was a general called General Kapupkin, and he was our kind of Russian leader, but he was an Afghan veteran, and so he was a bit of a crazy man. He used to think I was a deer and like to get his rifle out and said, "Run, I will shoot," you know. Oh, he used to run.
Blimey.
And he didn't shoot at me, but he shot above me, you know. He wasn't trying to kill me. Well, maybe he was, I don't know. So this was an extraordinary thing. I understood Russian psyche. I understood the country. We visited gulags. We saw extraordinary things and met extraordinary people, especially in the remoter places of Russia. And I really formed in my mind what the Russian culture was and how the Russian people thought. And I love them because they wear their heart on their sleeve. But I always sensed that sort of sense that Putin seems to come out with, which is this grumpiness that the world hates them, because all the satellite states, everybody kind of hates the Russian psyche because they are aggressors and have done it for years, and they've done it in the history. But mixed with that, there was this sort of generosity of spirit. The first thing a Russian does when they meet you is that they make you get drunk with vodka and caviar because they want to see the real you. And so this war, I in my heart, I feel I understand. I'm not excusing their aggression and why they're doing it, and their sense that all this culture that we've invaded belongs to us, really. You don't have your own culture. And it is so sad. But when you look at what they did to their own clever, creative, individualist people, sticking them all in gulags, you realize they've done it before. And that is part of their culture of an autocratic state that will lock people away because you don't agree with the state. And so that's why, for me, travel is such a thing. And Adam Curtis has got his documentary out now, which I've seen about three of them. And it's all shot by BBC film crews. But that, if you want to watch that, you will get a sense of why Russia is like it is and why it does the things it does. So.
And profoundly, yeah, experienced it firsthand by going into the inner reaches of Russia to find that out. I mean, that's a rarity that someone's gone deep into the hinterland to find it out and discover it for themselves.
Because Gorbachev and Yeltsin wanted glasnost. They wanted to open up. And so the idea that they were going to become more democratic and let the people feel and experience what they wanted to feel. And of course, that soon changed. I don't disagree with the idea that the West didn't embrace that, maybe in some ways. I read lots of articles, not defending Russia, but saying because you didn't embrace Russia, they just turned back to being, you know, fascists again. I'm sorry if you're Russian, I said that, but that's what it looks like from the outside.
And a slightly random question that's just occurred to me in that journeying, what was the vehicle that you hammered around the world in? Is it sort of an ancient Volvo or something?
No, it was sponsored by Ford. So we had a Ford Mondeo, which was adapted, obviously, to minus 70 degrees. That was the main car, but it couldn't cope with minus 70. And we had these fantastic trucks built in a place called Mertz. And they were, I've got that name wrong, but they were Mertz truck. And they were designed to go up frozen rivers. And they actually had a boiler in the back where you put wood in. That's how you kept warm.
Wow, I mean, Casey Jones thundering.
Yeah, it was. It was a place called Omicron, which is supposedly the coldest place on Earth. And it was minus 62 when we were there.
Gordon,
you can't run in that, breathe deeply. And we visited the sister reactor of Chernobyl, you know, and stood on it. And everyone is saying, look, it's safe. You're done. No problem. No problem. You know,
a sister reactor to Chernobyl. Gosh, not many people have been there.
In a different place.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Love that. Wonderful. So I think that's the most wonderful shapage. So now we're on to three things that inspire you, Peter Duncan.
Yes. Well, one of them is language. As the years have rolled on, I've realised how much, partly being an actor, but partly being a good reader. There were not many books in my house when I was a kid. I've got so many books now. I read, I say a lot, I read as much as I can. I use language as an actor. When I write stuff, I use language. I love language. I love reading books that I almost can't understand. I'm always saying, "What? Look up that word. What is that? I've never seen that word before." So language is, it has always had an effect on me. And I quite look forward to getting older. If I do get older, I always know that so much language I haven't seen or read in the future. So
I love the through line of how constantly inquisitive you are. That's a real through line that I'm experiencing.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably childhood. And I am inquisitive about the world and always thinking of new things. I think the other thing,
I just want to say, have you heard of Shoshin?
No.
Shoshin is a Japanese
lunch, but no.
Well, just to what you've just said, Shoshin is the beginner's mindset, in the beginner's mind. Yeah. So seeing the world through child eyes to remember, to remember to stay inquisitive and rediscover and think anew.
And that's Japanese, is it?
Yes, Shoshin. It's called.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, I might have done, but I don't think I have. No.
And I'm so sorry. I hope I haven't derailed you with that quick interruption.
No.
And another thing you said.
Yeah, well, it's nature, really. I'm both travelling in it, but I've just been through the five frozen planets and watched the fifth one, which is probably the most serious of it, and watching, people who are knowledgeable about the changing Earth and watching them cry and the genius of Attenborough, who is probably is God. He just hasn't told us that, And he's
lovely.
He's trying to say, to tell us to individually react in a fully kind of way, and those crews, they find such stories, not just about humans, and it always seems to be related about humans, but it's about landscapes, it's about creatures, it's about the minutiae of all kinds of life, which is obviously being affected by forms of climate change. And of course I'm someone who thinks, yes, of course, it's all going to end. If you read anything Monboy says about the way the world will end, you've only got to dig down a few hundred feet, and there's the previous world that ended when a meteor hit or ended when the methane escaped last time. It's not, we're not here forever, and maybe some life will perform and it will all evolve again. So, yeah, all those articles that people write about, are we doomed? I always want to say, yes, of course we are. so that is increasingly a powerful thing as the world is changing. I just hope it's not too difficult for people, and that people get to fade away gracefully, if you like.
And by the way, there's a previous guest called Alistair Fothergill that I've had on this show, because I used to be a neighbour of his in Bristol, and he works very closely with Sir David Attenborough.
Oh, does he? Yeah,
so
yeah.
It must be an episode for you to listen in the back archive to. Yeah.
I think he's quite contentious as well. I did meet him once at Blue Peter, and I interrupted him, and he looked at me very crossly. But I rather like the idea that if he is God, why shouldn't he be cantankerous telling people?
I'm God. I'll interrupt you if I want to.
Yes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And what's the? Have I done my three? Haven't I really? Have I done my three? Yes, I've done.
three things that inspire.
I've done two, I suppose, haven't I?
Have you got another one?
Well, it's something about distraction and being creative that I love to be distracted by stuff that you know, you have an intention for the day and somehow that doesn't happen, like fixing the roof of my space. You know, I didn't go down there to do that. I just started doing it. And I think it's, and maybe that's just a luxury, but I think some of the best things in life happen. And maybe that's how the pantomimes happen, that you just unconsciously start doing something and then something evolves. And it's usually about being creative. And for me, it's about being practical. So that's quite a powerful thing for me, just to be aware that in any moment, you can be doing something different in the 5 minutes that could lead to something unimaginable.
A beginner's mindset right there. You're Captain Shoshin. I think that's great.
I've got it. Yes, I like that character.
And that's a perfect segue into the monsters of distraction as personified by the two things that will never fail to grab your attention, which are the squirrels. So whether it's what never fails to distract you, then whatever else is going on for you.
The film Up is one of my favourite films, and I actually had a job promoting it because, as you know, there's a young scout in it, and I got phoned up by a PR company, said, would you go on all local radios and go, and we'll send you to the film, and I fell in love with it. In fact, it's probably my second favourite film in that genre next to The Princess Bride. Very much those film pantomimes I did were influenced a bit by that kind of storytelling. And so I did see it quite early on, and I did love the squirrel thing, and it always makes me laugh every time. And I still do that gag, I go, squirrel, you know, I still say it. But
so I designed this programme with you in mind, Peter Duncan, obviously.
I'm afraid I'm going to go very conventional in the two things, and I'm going to say, without being sexist, I'm going to say women and football are the two things.
Ah, you lovely quintessential bloke, you. I like that.
I am. Yes, so but I better start on safer territory, the football. There was a wonderful article written by Simon Cooper, which explained to me why I love football. And I love football because I still play football. I'm 68, still play five-a-side. I can still beat some of the kids. I still got. And it was really the focus of this article, obviously, there's a bit about Qatar and all that, but it was talking about the older footballers, how now in this day and age, the likes of Ronaldo and Messi, and how these artisans of the skill of kicking a ball around have transcended because they can't have the shy kick out to them by those tough sort of footballers in defence. They actually last a bit longer. And of course, as they get into their 30s and even their late 30s, they develop this almost paranormal experience of when you're running with the ball, and it's like playing complicated chess with a ball at your feet. And I love that, because even on a Tuesday night, when I go down, I'm doing that. I'm thinking, I can't beat this 19-year-old. I'm going to have to think of something else to get round him, to get the ball past him, to pass it to someone else to pass me back. So it's, for me, it's been a joy. And as a kid, I spent my life kicking a little tennis ball against the thing. So I love football. I got very bored with it over recent VAR and all that stuff. And I, you know, like a lot of football fans, I just dream for that moment of genius or perception.
Yes.
Of it, really.
In fact, just yesterday, I read a very witty quote by Brian Clough saying, we had a great team on paper. Unfortunately, we had to play on grass. And yes, you're talking about the defenders kicking the. I used to support Leeds United, and that used to have someone like Billy Bremner and Norman Unser. You know,
yeah, they were masters. So these talented individuals that flourish now, the Benzemas of the world, there's a list of them, really serious. Sort of older men who shouldn't be running around with boys. They just, they're ahead. They're football masters. You know,
yes.
love it.
And then to women. Back to women.
Now, it's a tricky subject, this, and I'm glad no one's in the room listening to me. So, you know, I have pity for men now, because their natural instincts in certain cultures are restricted. And I'm not talking about bad behaviour towards women or sexist behaviour. I'm just talking about celebrating women, and both the way they look, but also what they're made up of. And if you're going to say, you know, if the dogs go squirrel, like a lot of boys, I go, woman. And perhaps I shouldn't delve too deep into that. But I
still, have you got any Have you constantly got a stiff neck because you're constantly double taking at the world?
No, it's just. I think, you know, we've lost a degree of naturalism by.
It's like an aesthetic appreciation and an aesthetic celebration of.
Yes, and clearly places like Qatar and Iran, lots of countries cover up their women for the very same reason that they don't want other men to look at them. You know, so it's a complicated world in that way. And then complain about the West, where the women take their clothes off and they dress up and they're beautiful. But I think it's in reverse. Women appreciate men in that same way, and not to be suppressed. And I'm not just talking about looking. I'm talking, that is the moment. We always have that expression, you know, love at first sight. And because that first sight is when you see someone and you go, I mean, how do we know other things aren't happening in that moment? That sounds a bit fickle, love at first sight. But that's the first point. That's the first move. And so I celebrate, for all men, I celebrate that.
No, I think you... squirrels, women are squirrels. No, I thought you landed that very beautifully.
Thank you.
Well done. So,
the complaints.
And there won't be any because you're doing it very charmingly. And now it's the quirky or unusual fact about you, Peter Duncan, that you've had in the bank since we first started this conversation, that we couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us.
Yes, well, hidden away, I am a dystopian conceptual artist. Again, this is about making things, and I do make things which have a certain darkness attached to them. I'll describe a couple of them. I have a bath in my garden under the ground, buried, and my face is lit by coloured lights, and it's like I've drowned. I have a totem pole which I've made, which has attached all kinds of things that I've been to and seen and done, Blue Peter badges. It's just a myriad of moments in life. That's not quite so dark.
So that's sort of a totemic, literally totemic. You attach things. It's an evolving sculpture.
I attach things to it, and these are all outside, of course. But the one I was going to mention, which relates back to the Russia thing, which is, and this is a big piece of artwork, which is not really finished, and it's been outside because my wife won't let me bring it in the house. But it's called Triple Whammy, and it's I imagine it as a Russian city, really, and it's a triple whammy because not only is the nuclear reactor exploded at that point, a meteorite has hit it, and also it's got the plague. So these three things happen in this one space, and it's all white, and this is what's gone on in that place for the people and the animals and the creatures. So that's why I want to do more of that stuff. I don't know where this comes from, but I love maybe it's something to do with the world fading away. I don't know, but these things come out of me, and as I get older, really, when I'm too old to slap on a dress and a wig, I actually want to do a lot more of this kind of stuff and explore it.
I like the fact it sort of sounds like you're intellectually allowing yourself to go feral, and I love the creativity of that. The triple whammy sounds like an extraordinary escape.
I do want to go a bit feral, really. Yes. Yes, I am a bit feral, but I'd like to go more feral as I get older. That's my retirement.
And your underground bath, where you said I've drowned, that sounds like you're channeling your inner Ophelia.
Well, yeah, no, I did want to put a whole sort of skeleton in there with the face. It's sort of an alabaster kind of face, but I wasn't allowed to do that. So it's just my face in the water, lights underneath.
Yes.
Because people go quiet when they see it. They go, and then they move on.
Is that you? You seem to have drowned. Yes. If I ever am able to look down upon it, I'll tell you what I think. It's going to be lovely. Wonderful. So we've shaken your tree. Hurrah. So now we're going to stay in the clearing, move away from the tree. And next we talk about alchemy and gold. When you're at purpose and in flow, Peter Duncan, and you might have given us an insight into this already, but what are you absolutely happiest doing?
Well, I think it's something to do. I've conflated that a bit with the distraction thing. I think it's when in the flow of something, alchemy comes It's like a discovery. It's when something is put together with something else. And I presume your metaphor is that that turns to gold. I think that's what you meant by it to some degree. And I suppose in some ways the pantomimes have become part of that idea, that an idea is born of an idea. And, you know, when it gestating ideas is that comes out of distraction. It's like you get an idea. And you know, if you're busy doing something that you have to do all the time, you dismiss it. But sometimes, if you follow that distracted thought, you never know where that's going to lead. And then, you know, sometimes it grips you and it becomes a passion, and then you have to do it. And sometimes it turns to gold, but it can equally turn to fool's gold.
Thank you for saying fool's gold rather than the sh word.
Yes, yes.
Wonderful. So that is a great answer to that. And then finally, now I'm going to award you with a cake. Stuff like, what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given? What's a favourite inspirational quote that's always given you succour and pulled you towards your future?
I do have that. And one that's been on my fridge during the pantomimes is this one's about to Goethe, but whatever you can do, or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it.
Delicious. And now, inspired by Shakespeare and all the worlds of stage and the seven ages of man, how, when all is said and done, we'll talk about legacy now, how would you most like to be remembered, Peter?
When you said that, I immediately thought of Macbeth's speech, you know, all sound and fury signifying nothing, because if it's what we're all going to do, then I go with that place. I mean, it's great what you've done, but we're all going to end up 200 foot down as just part of some dark tundra in the past. I don't think it will be remembered in deep, dark, distant future. Maybe in someone else's dreams that I'll appear. I do, again, in a paranormal thing, I do, without believing in gods or believing in anything, I do think there's great mystery in existence. And I do think how clever we are, and how maybe clever enough to save the planet for a longer time with science and technology. I do think we haven't cracked our presence on this blue, beautiful blue thing that we float around the cosmos, the universe in. And so, again, as I said when we first spoke, I love the idea of mystery. I love the idea that I exist comfortably, yes. Not comfortably in the sense of being comfortable, but I exist comfortably with myself.
You are at peace with your sense of presence. And
yes. Again, to quote my wife, she wouldn't agree with that philosophy, but I feel it at times.
Again, there is a real sprite-like wonderment going on here, which is wonderful. There's a final question coming up, but in the intervening period, this is important but slightly dull. Where can we find out more about Peter Duncan on the old hinterweb, please?
Yes, well, you, if you want to see the previous two pantomimes, Jack and the Beanstalk and Cinderella, the first one started at the beginning of COVID, the second year when we were still in a sort of semi-lockdown. And although we're not there now, the third one, Panterland, which is a mixture of Peter Pan, of Aladdin, also Red Riding Hood. So it's a bit different, it's aimed at all kinds of people. There's grown-up stuff and there's kids stuff and some for both, as all good pantos have. But it is different to your traditional pantomime. It still has music and sing-along songs and you know, laugh out loud bits and slapstick and slosh, but it's a slightly different concept to the singular story panto which I did before. And you can get all three for £15, which is pretty good, really. Watch it as many times as you like if you go to pantoonline.co.uk, and all my philosophy is all melded into it, including the dream.
Wonderful. And there's here's one I made earlier.com.
Oh, well, that's a sort of actor's website a bit. But yes, I do. Yes, it's just something I did years ago that I haven't shut down. But I do a yearly blog.
Bless you for being so regular. OK,
thank you.
As this has been your moment in the sunshine of the Good Listening to show, Peter Duncan, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Go placidly and make the noise and haste. A bit of desiderata. There you are.
Lovely, a bit of desiderata to end. So, yes, you've been listening to the lovely, the glorious Mr. Peter Duncan. I've been Chris Grimes, but most importantly, that's been Peter Duncan. Thank you very much indeed, and good night.
You've been listening to the Good Listening To show here on UK Health Radio with me, Chris Grimes. Oh, it's my son.
If you've enjoyed the show, then please do tune in next week to listen to more stories from The Clearing.
If you'd like to connect with me on LinkedIn, then please do so. There's also a dedicated Facebook group for the show too. You can contact me about the programme, or if you'd be interested in experiencing some personal impact coaching with me, care of my Level Up Your Impact programme, that's chris@secondcurve.uk. On Twitter and Instagram, it's
@thatchrisgrimes.
So until next time, from me, Chris Grimes, from UK Health Radio, and from Stan,
to your good health.
Goodbye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big.